I know a few non-techies in my life, okay? These are the admittedly non-technical people. Some of you are one, and I'm not calling anybody out this morning. Every now and then I will hear one of them say, "You won't believe it. I figured it out." It's this big moment. I got my computer working. It was dead. I say, "What'd you do?" "I dropped it on the floor, and now it seems to be working great." I'm like, "Whatever it takes," right? My experience is people like success and they dislike failure. We could call these, in one sense, tests. But when a person passes the test, they enjoy the sense of success that comes from passing that test. I don't care what it is. It may be cooking something for the first time. And there's a sense of pressure. They do tell you, don't ever make a recipe for the first time to serve company. You may try to blame it on the recipe, but you're on the hook, okay? So practice makes perfect. But I think there's a sense that when we pass a test, when we pass a spiritual test, if we've been in some sort of time of adversity and we've trusted God to lead us through that time, there's a great sense, and I think that's why on Wednesday nights we're more and more talking about kind of recording those answers to prayer. And be faithful to rejoice in what God is doing. Because there are times where we are forgetful people. Do you ever forget about the thing you pleaded with God for? You just pleaded with Him to work that out. And He did. And sometimes we quickly sometimes move beyond that. But without that sense of what God wanted to reveal to us at that time, I think is, you can trust me. You can trust me. I want to talk about building on trust this morning. If you read through the book of James, you'll find that James has some pretty strong language. James is writing to the 12 tribes of Israel, and he is concerned about them. Many of them have come to understand the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you always got to keep in mind, when you read the Jewish Christian epistles, there's always an evangelistic theme that is coming out of those. Because in the Jewish mindset, they thought because we have all the prophets that we don't have sin. And God says that's not true. Every person has sin. If we want fellowship with God, we need Jesus. The Jewish people need Jesus. The Gentiles need Jesus. But God would have a certain audience for those Jews, and He would use people like Peter, He would use James, and He would use John to continue the evangelistic ministry to the Jewish people. And James would say, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." Here it is. "Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience," even poison ivy. Okay. Scripture tells us, Lord would say to us this morning, "Turn at my rebuke." In other words, "Turn at my rebuke. Accept this correction. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you." Proverbs 1, verse 23. We should learn from a failed test and then move on. Part of the challenge in our life, and I think it's the human tendency, is to dwell on past, especially in the realm of failure. Every one of us can say, "I've been there, done that." The apostle would instruct us, "Forgetting what lies behind, I press on to the goal of the upward call in Christ Jesus." Can you say that this morning? Are you moving forward? Because moving forward requires faith. It doesn't matter so much of where you may have already failed. It's a matter of you believing that God is at work, even in spite of present failure. The test that you failed doesn't mean that God is done with you. So often in our life, we don't pass the test. There's a crisis that brews, and somehow we can, if we're not careful, we can sort of fall apart. We can worry. We can try to fix it in a way that might be, humanly speaking, seems like a good idea. But God has us in a place, I believe right now, that this COVID-19 is a great time to trust Almighty God with our lives and the times that we're living in. The hysteria of the media is not going to stop. There is a spiritual war at work in this world right now. And I believe Satan is doing everything to keep the Christian in fear and to keep the unbeliever from coming to faith. And God has poured out his love for us on that cross so perfectly, so dramatically, that one look to Jesus saves you forever. Do you believe that this morning? Corrie Ten Boom and her family were Dutch Christians. Perhaps you have heard the name Corrie Ten Boom. She helped, and her family helped, many Jews escape the Nazi Holocaust in World War II. When their home was raided after an informant tipped off the Nazis of their activities, the entire family was imprisoned. Corrie and her sister were sent to a notorious Nazi concentration camp. She was miraculously released from prison just days after her sister Betsy died there. God brought incredible beauty and healing through her difficult experiences. And her words still have great relevance and impact on our world today. Perhaps some of you have read some of Corrie Ten Boom's books. She's authored a number of books that one that was most famous was called The Hiding Place. It's the incredible story of her life. The title refers to the secret place where the family hid countless Jewish people needing help in their home. A little side note here, as I'm thinking about the Jewish people this morning, and I think about how God wants us to have a heart for them, and they will have their day coming where they will once again see Jesus. We're told to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And I thought of Roland Steinman last night as I'm even looking at these final thoughts for today. And I said, I'm calling my friend. I'm picking up this phone right now. It's 9:30. He might be sleeping. Oh, well. I'm going to tell him I love him and I care about him. Roland is a Jewish man, came to faith, has struggled big time in this last year, probably almost two. So it made me think about the Jewish people, and actually God loves it when the Gentiles actually are concerned about the Jewish people, and we should be. God used the elect nation to bring Jesus Christ, and for that reason, God says, when we bless Israel, when we pray for Israel, God has a blessing for us. So let's never give up, and one of the things we do pray for on Wednesday nights is we pray for Israel. They will see Jesus again. And the next time they see him, they'll realize he was the one that they pierced. And they're going to accept him. Many, many Jews will come to faith in Christ during that tribulation period. Many Gentiles will come. Right now, before that time happens, because we won't be here, we want to be faithful to doing everything we can as a local church to be faithful to the ministry, praying for them. Back to the story here. Occasionally I get a little sidetracked, but I'm just going to go back in now. So the hiding place is the incredible story of Corrie Ten Boom's life. The title refers to the secret place where the family hid countless Jewish people needing help in their home and is based on this scripture. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Every believer should really think about that. We should believe that this morning, that God, you're my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Paul said, all forsook me, but the Lord stood by my side. One of the things Corrie understood is the depth of God's forgiveness and his grace. And she said, and it's going to be up on the screen, and I pray that every person will think more about this than they've had in the past. God buries our sins in the depths of the sea and then puts up a sign that reads, no fishing. Amen. Scriptural support for that. Micah chapter 7, verse 12. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot. Micah talking to the Jewish people. And hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. Micah 7, verse 12. And then that wonderful, wonderful psalm of God's everlasting faithfulness. Psalm 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. You have confidence this morning based upon what happened at the cross that your sins have been removed. If you are in Christ this morning, and my prayer is that, do you know what that really means? See, most people are thinking that if I pick myself up and I fix myself, God will love me. It's like that's like a lie from the pit of hell. Because most people believe that God, I'm unlovable. And therefore, if I make myself more lovable, if I just pick myself up, if I improve upon what's imperfect, the things that I struggle with, the things that haunt me, the things that make me feel like I'm no good. God says you are good because you're made in the image of God, and Jesus bled on a cross for you. And for that, you should be grateful. And to receive him as your own is God's will for you today. If you're in Christ this morning, enjoy your salvation and keep going. When we receive Christ, God, and we called upon him, we are placed at that moment in him. We've been talking about that. We're placed in Christ. How God does that? No idea. But he does it. He can sit, in one sense I don't fully grasp it, but he places me as if I am in the very righteousness of Jesus. And nothing can change that. When God sees me, he sees his son. Whoa. All right? That should be a woe to you and a woe to me. Because when you're as righteous as Jesus, and right now, not just because we know that day ultimately, the Bible says that when we see him, we will be like him. We know that day is still coming. But right now, as we are in Christ this morning, God sees a righteous person. He sees a person that he can dwell in. And he wants us to get this. He wants us to understand this. Last week we talked about building wisely. I believe God is showing us what to do. We looked at how Jesus Christ is to us wisdom. He's true wisdom. He's everything. In him are all the treasures of wisdom. Why wouldn't God? Why would a small little building on 2703 Cranberry Highway be too difficult for God, right? It's not. It's difficult for us. It's an obstacle right now. I watch buildings go up. I admire new construction. I'm actually become like I want to become a student of new construction. Like, how does this all take place? You know, and you watch these buildings gradually take, you know, they go up or foundations are laid, and yet it's a process. So we are at this time in absolute need to trust the Lord. I think God will build our faith as we trust him. And I believe the trials and the tests that we all experience are tremendous reasons why we can continue to look to the Lord. Yeah, you got some good ones and so do I. You've got some things that bother you that go deep. And those are areas of your life that you say, why did that happen? And you could come up with all types of questions to try to figure out why did that happen. The problem is, with that type of therapy approach, you may never get to the bottom of why. You just have to accept that I was born into a sinful world, and Jesus loves sinners, okay? And he demonstrates that love for sinners. And when by his demonstration of his love, and I enter into that, I become God's amazing child. All right? This should be something that should make you smile. And you should be good with this. Now, you will still encounter stuff in your life that's going to make you at times feel like, I'm not behaving much like a child of God. We can work on that, okay? Don't give up on yourself. That's the necessity of being empowered by the Spirit. A lot of people, this is the unfortunate thing about what I see today with the emphasis on the Holy Spirit, is that it's always so dramatic and it's so spectacular. In other words, that if you don't have some breakthrough miracle, some massive thing, then somehow you lack faith. And that's the furthest thing from the truth. We have to stand our ground here. Does God still do great and amazing things? Absolutely. But sometimes you're going to need help from a headache, okay? Sometimes you're going to need strength just to get out the door and do the right thing that day. And you're going to ask God to give you the strength to do the right thing that day. That's a huge thing. That could be something that could just be what you needed for that day. You could classify that if you want to as your miracle. But see, the problem is we leave very little room for the Christian to fail. And by so much of the teaching today, I know people in this church, if you only could see their progress, and some of you have witnessed their progress just in the last year of their life, and how things are becoming more and more clear to them of what does it really mean to be in Christ and to be growing in trust to God. So let's celebrate what God is doing in their lives. Do I know that God can do great and mighty things? Yes. But does he do little things that are still very huge? He does. I've seen God's faithfulness in my life more times than I can tell you. And sometimes I don't know how something. Just in the last couple weeks, I've been placed in different tests as a pastor. And I say, okay, God. And I say that nicely, not in any... But these are big ones. These are things in my life that I have to trust God for. I don't know what this should all look like. I haven't been placed in this situation before. But can I trust Him? Yes. You can too. You can too. The thing is, we squirm when we're in a test sometimes. We don't want to go there. We don't like it. We want another way out. There are things in my life I still squirm over. Okay. But I trust that God is at work in that, and He brings me to a place that I can trust Him. See, we seem to forget, okay, this is so important. Why is it when the gospel is proclaimed in a very compelling way, and people like you out there say, I want Jesus, and I'm going to come to Jesus, and I'm going to give Him my life, and I'm going to let Him do something new and brand new in my life. I receive Him as my Lord. I know He paid for my sin in full at the cross. And I receive Him. Then you go live. And it seems like every other thing. Like you did the big thing. And I get that. And the big thing is important. But isn't it important that we learn to walk with Him and talk with Him and have fellowship with Him? Do you realize that our relationship with Jesus is about fellowship? It is about growing in intimacy. It is about letting God show us things that truly belong to us. And I find that there are times in our life that we want to almost plead for the big things, but push away the small things. Sometimes we push away people. And I need in my own life to remember that, wow, this is the day that the Lord has made. This is where God has me. He doesn't have me tomorrow. We don't have that building yet, okay? What will God do today to get us to where He wants? It is not just about the building of a building. It's about building the people that are in this church. I truly believe that. If we build as we should build up one another, that's why the Scripture's very clear to us, especially those of us today who want to understand clear church teaching. We want to make sure that we understand the things that God wants us to know now. I love the verses that Andrea read. You know, I love the book of Ephesians. I believe the ladies are going to be studying the book of Ephesians. You know, He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we'd ever ask. Do you realize some of that is future? Some of that is future. Sometimes we just got to remember that not everything that we might think we need right now, God is going to do. It is wonderful when He does those things. I will be the first one to tell you, I will be utterly stunned the day that we are in a new building down the street, okay? Because I know what it's going to take. It's going to take a lot of God things that are going to bring this thing together. But I don't want to forget what God has given us to do while we're right here. I don't want to forget about building our Sunday school, building our children's ministry, continue to reach out as a church. So we're going to be walking by faith. I want to read these scriptures. Beth, actually, this verse is going to be on your cake today, dear. Or the references, at least. And this is on the back of your bulletin. And this, I just really want to share a couple of thoughts from two very significant portions of Scripture. One is, most of us know Psalm 23. Like, I know Psalm 23, and somewhere you picked it up, maybe as a child. You know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I believe Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 probably comes in as a close second to all the scriptures that people memorize or people get familiar with. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." And I'd just like to stop there for a second. I want to give you a little insight into Proverbs chapter 3. And I'd just like to go back. You won't have this in front of you unless you turn there. But let me read it for us, and then I'd like to just take a look at this particular few verses. So Proverbs, see, when you think about the Proverbs and you think about Solomon, God uses messy people. People who called by God, people who were tasked by God, who God had a purpose and a plan for, who still messed up but still left us the very things that God wanted them to tell us. And that's exactly what we have with Solomon. Solomon understood. He pleaded with God for wisdom, and God says, because you asked me for wisdom and not riches, I'm gonna bless you. And God blessed Solomon. But Solomon says here, and you got to think in mind, even though Scripture is written by a human, it's directed by the Holy Spirit. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. So, back to Proverbs 3. I don't think it's fair to look at what Solomon is providing here in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 without seeing what he's also saying early in this chapter. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. God wants us to rest on Him and rest on His Word. That's why when you are doing that, you can trust in the Lord with all your heart. See, if you just think like, God, I don't know what to do. I'm in a real mess today, and I'm scared. But you're not bringing other Scripture in. There's very little for that to... Now, I'm not saying that God is not going to answer that prayer. Let me be clear with that. But I really believe that when God gives us wisdom, He's giving it in light of our esteeming His Word, His whole Word, loving His Word, so that when we get into places like this, and the Bible tells us to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. The other thing to keep in mind is that God has placed a brand new nature in every Christian. Now, you still battle something that is ugly, and I do too. It's called sin. But the way you view that now as a Christian is that God moved that out of the way. You still have the remnant effect of that, the presence of that. But that's not you anymore. Even though you still may sin, that's not coming. That's only coming out of your old nature, which has been dead and gone in God's eyes. See, that's why you and I can be free to love Jesus, because it's been moved out of the way. Every time you may encounter something that you don't like, now God will help us make adjustments. I believe that God still wants us to make good choices. We want to move away from just, you know, poorly sowing. Like, well, I'm just going to sow to my flesh today. I'm going to speak a word to an unkind word to somebody. You know, I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit, because there are times where I realize that was stupid. Like, I shouldn't have said that. And I'm the pastor. What about you folks? You know, and I'm not, you know, there's no magic wand over the pastor in the sense that I still can have my own moments. Thank you, Bonnie. I'm still human, but under hopefully the control of the Spirit. But in that, that's a good thing. I don't want to turn away from that rebuke, because in that is blessing. In that is God's correction. And what He's saying is, I haven't, that's not you anymore. That's not you, Dave. You're a new person. And I want to build this person up. And I want this person to trust me with their whole heart and lean not on their own understanding. In all my ways, acknowledge Him. How do I acknowledge God today? I take Him at His word. Number one, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. Do you remind yourself that you're new in Christ? You want an impetus for evangelism? You want an impetus to tell people about Jesus? We talked about last week about bragging on Jesus in one sense. You know how much help I need in this area? I need a lot of help. I want to brag on my Savior, but I can't do it in just in my my own human desire. I want that to be empowered. I want to continue to know how God could empower me to bring Christ to this area, to people in my own life, to my own family. So, anyway, so we acknowledge him today by simply accepting the fact of what he says is true. And don't argue that. If God tells you that you're a new person, that Christ loves you, that Jesus Christ died for you, do you know that God has great plans for his church? That's why that Ephesians, see, this is our future with Christ is utterly glorious. The Bible says that when we see Jesus, we will be like him. COVID-19 and everything. If COVID-19 takes anybody as a Christian, immediately in the presence of the Lord. This is amazing. We have an amazing hope in a future. Do you believe that this morning? Do you really believe that? See, this is how we can fight the good fight. Paul calls this a good fight of faith. This is a battle. You are battling something here. We live in the realm of war with ourselves, oftentimes, with spiritual powers in high places that are outside of us. And they are endeavoring to discourage us, to keep us silenced. Boy, you guys are quiet. Okay. Praise God. God will direct our path. He will direct our path all the way to heaven. Psalm 31, verse 1 to 5. This should be up on the screen as well. See, we've got to get good with believing that God has good plans for us. We should be on board with us, on board with his amazing fulfillment of prophecy. God causes all things to work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. His purpose is that every person will receive Jesus. Every person. That's his will. He wants every person in Christ because he loves us. God is a loving Father. Jesus Christ is a loving God. And he died for the world. And so we should never get this out of our thinking. But it's Psalm 31, verses 1 to 5. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Can you say that this morning? In you, O Lord, I put my trust. That's why I do believe when we come to prayer meeting on Wednesday nights and we're praying together, this is the type of stuff that you may need some help with trusting God. Let's pray for one another. Let me never be ashamed. You know how you can never be ashamed as a Christian? Is keep looking into the perfect law of liberty of Christ Jesus that set you free. On your worst day, keep looking to Jesus. Keep looking to him. I love the conversation that Jesus has with Peter. Just think about this for one moment. And I'll be careful, I won't go off. You think about Peter completely promising that he will not deny his Lord. I will not, right? You know, Jesus tells him, Peter, you will deny me. Three times, if you will deny me. And then there's this time where our Savior is resurrected and alive, and he's on the beach with the disciples, and there's Peter, and he just tells Peter to feed his lambs, to feed his sheep. Peter, do you love me? Do you see Jesus recounting Peter's past? No, Peter was just realizing, he wasn't realizing how weak he really was. Pressure can break us. But look at that moment where they are just so in love with their Lord. We should be so in love with our Lord. I can't say this enough in my own life. This is what keeps me going. I want to love Jesus. I want to love him better and better every day. Amen. Thank you, brother. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame. Be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. See, God's righteous work for us is complete. His righteousness is complete. God is just saying, you grab onto this rope I'm giving to you. You grab onto it. I'm pulling you up. I got new places for you to go. Number one, you're going to live out your days on this earth as a new person in Christ. And you're going to learn to enjoy that. That's God's desire. He would want you to enjoy this. We must get away from the shoulda, the couldas, right? And start saying, Lord, I need you. I want to live a life of no regret. And at the same time, I'm not all sure how all that happens, to be totally honest. But we can do that. And listen to what the psalmist says. Bow down your ear to me. In other words, God, hear my prayer. God, your heavenly ear. My little voice, my broken heart. Bow down your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. You know what the great deliverance, you know what the great speedy deliverance is? Is the rapture. This is awesome. You talk about speed. That's awesome. I'll never forget what Bill Newbert said a couple weeks ago. He says, you know, what really, you remember what Bill said? This is just one of those favorite moments as a sitting out there and hearing that testimony. You know what it would, Bill says, you know what would have really been tragic? If I died in a horrible car accident and a week later, Dennis goes merrily up in the rapture. Right? So, see, we talk about the rapture because it's right to talk about the rapture. It's not wrong. It doesn't matter. You can still live your life in full throttle and still being very active on this life and work and people and family and all of that stuff. But I hold out the hope that my Lord promised and he's going to keep his promise. And that's something that, it's like we believe that Jesus Christ, the Bible says, for Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. I believe that. I also believe he's coming. And I believe between now and when either I finish living my life or Jesus should come for his church, we should build on trusting him every breath we breathe. Because in light of Psalm 31, we should say, Lord, be my rock of refuge, a fortress of defense to save me. See, God wants, we need present salvation from ourselves, if you would. Sometimes we just get in our own way and we stumble. I said last week, do you ever drive your own self crazy, right? You don't need any help from anybody else. You can drive your own self crazy. Sometimes we need salvation just from our old self, our old ways of thinking. And we have to ask God, Lord, help me to see myself the way it really is. Help me to appreciate my new wonderful identity that's in the Savior. And because what will happen here? Therefore, for your name's sake, see, God's name is a reliable name. He's going to back his name. God's name is really, his reputation is at stake in the believer. That's why a believer cannot lose their salvation. They may look lost. They may have done some really dumb stuff between the time that they got saved and went to heaven. And we all know people like that. And that's not good. For you are my rock and my fortress, therefore for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me. We are battling spiritual forces of darkness. And there are times where even in this last 3 to 4 months in our church, we've watched God lead us through a difficult time. God's still doing great things. But I also say, you know, I can't drop my guard for 1 second, spiritually speaking, and think for 1 second that Satan is just done with attacking this church. He will. And he will look. And that's why when the scripture says, don't let a root of bitterness grow up in your midst and defile many. Do you see what Satan does? He gets a weak Christian upset, and that weak Christian starts to do stuff and pull other people down. Churches have been split all across America for stupid things because people can't humble themselves and say, you know what? I don't have it all together. But I'm going to go with the Word of God, and I'm going to do what Jesus tells me to do, and I'm going to make this right, and I'm going to move forward, and I'm going to forget what lies behind, and I'm going to strain forward to what lies ahead. That's why as a church, if anybody in this congregation is going through a difficult time, let's encourage them. Let's get them going. Not like just beating them up and like, you know. We've had enough of that in our life. We do it to our own self. For you are my strength into your hand. And isn't this amazing? Right here in Psalm 31, scripture's fulfilled in Jesus when he dies upon that cross. Jesus is standing, when Jesus Christ is on that cross, he is paying a death for every human being. He is alone on that cross. He is utterly forsaken by God. Jesus never knew that level of being forsaken, and he did it for sinners who did not love him. And now, the moment I get a glimpse of this amazing love for me in the world that God had made, every person, his sacrifice is totally sufficient. Totally and utterly sufficient. All right, I need to just close because I do want to take us into the Lord's Supper. But I want to just read you a section from the book of Hebrews that you and I should be at a place where we say, you know what, Lord, let that not be said of me. The problem with, in many ways, with what happened with the Jewish people is that they used human excuses, human problems, not to trust God. If you really look at what happened here, God wants to work with this nation, and they don't cooperate. But God still gets his will done with these obstinate people. But God takes great pleasure in people who take him at his word. Number one, take him at his word for your salvation. Take him at his word that he wants to help you grow. But here's Hebrews chapter 10. Scripture says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. In other words, I'm such a loser and God's done with me. Well, you know what? We're all going to have those moments. But if you stay there and you continue to stay there as a Christian, you're throwing away your confidence. No, let it be clear. You're not lost, but you've thrown away your possibility for an effective life for Christ. Because what you're saying is now you're putting a question mark where God put not only a period, but an exclamation point. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance. The Holy Spirit is the helper, and he helps us endure. Because the moment you receive Christ, you are fit for heaven at that moment. When Jesus is on the cross, he's got two men beside him. One of them says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. So this man knew Jesus was a king. He could do nothing. He could not get off that cross and go get baptized. He just couldn't do anything except believe the gospel. And he believed the gospel, and Jesus says, today you're going to be with me in paradise. A complete failure in humanly speaking, in God's eyes, a complete winner because of what God said. And that's our God. That's what God can do. And that's the type of thing that will keep you loving him. Me unworthy, him so worthy, receiver of his worthiness under no other reason except that God's a great and loving father and he wants to give. For you have need of endurance so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Speaking about the Lord Jesus. Now the just shall live by faith. That means you and I walk by faith. We don't always, the circumstances aren't always the right thing here. I'm telling you, I love it when it's like, oh my goodness, that is a huge obstacle in the way. Lord, how are you going to take care of that one for us? Because I don't know how that need's going to get met. See, this is how we can rejoice in God, because God knows. I love what God is doing in this church. I love the people that he's bringing into this church, and I don't care how you come. I don't care if we bump into you on the new property. If you're here because of that, praise him. God may be using so many things that we don't even realize how he's doing that. But you know what? He's concerned about the soul of every human being, and he will bring them. And every soul not only needs Christ, but that soul needs to grow and appreciate what God has done for them, and to grow in respect to that you would be able to serve the Lord. For you have need of endurance so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. This is Hebrews chapter 10. For yet a little while he who's coming will come and not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But the scripture says, but we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but those who believe to the saving of the soul. A believer wants to be in a place where they continue to move forward. Let the obstacles, the trials, the tests, the pressures, the things that are very real in our lives be all the more reason that we can say, Lord, I could take this situation and it could really ruin my day. but I'm going to trust you. As ugly as it might look right now, I'm going to trust you. Because you're the Lord who can work all things. You're working all things together for me. See, this is the power of knowing the Word of God. The greatest reason for you to trust God is because of the cross. The love that was poured out for you. That's why Paul will say, I will only boast in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything this church does, we should say, it's because we love Him. Everything we do. It's not because of some duty or obligation in one sense, but because we love Jesus. And as the great declaration goes from Romans 8, if God be for us, who could be against us? I never get tired of hearing that one. Amen. Amen.